Amen. Praise God. But we're glad for the blessings of the Lord today, how God helps. And I'm just grateful tonight just to be able to come and worship the Lord. And I'm thankful for the healing of God and God's help. I'm going to ask Brother Ashton and Brother Brent, would you help pass this out? If you don't have an ink pen tonight, let us know. We'll try to get you one. Just raise your hand if you need an ink pen. Okay. Brother Josh, there's an ink pen right up here that they're welcome to borrow. Abigail, you promised before the Lord Jesus Christ to give my ink pen back. Now I'm picking. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Okay, if you need a pen, just raise your hand. Abigail and Alexa, the Mount Enterprise kids don't use pens anymore. They're mountain people, huh? Praise God. If you would like one with the blanks already, I do have three up here. If you feel like you can't keep up, just wave at me. They'll be up here if you want to take them with you. Last week we talked about the cleansing of the heart and the mind. We talked about things that in the heart and the mind that hinder us, hinder God, hinder our relationship with God. We talked about different things last week, how thoughts and uncontrolled thoughts, unclean thoughts, and these things, even doubt comes in. Neglect of scripture reading, all these different things needed to be something inside of us that we acknowledge and look at and confess. Confession is good for your soul and for your eternity. And tonight, let me just say this. Confessing is more than just saying, I've done it, but Lord, I need your help with it. Amen. I am disabled. Every one of us is disabled to make it to heaven on our own. We need the help of the Almighty God. So tonight, what we're going to be talking about is the sin of speech and cleansing that. I have a problem with me. Me is my biggest devil. I'm telling you, me, the flesh, is the biggest devil you'll ever fight. Well, I sound like I'm all by myself tonight. You know? Let's go to Mark, the 12th chapter. You may just stay seated. Mark chapter 12, verse 35 is where I would like to read. 36 and 37. Matthew 12, 35. It says this, a good man out of the good treasure of a heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's important tonight that we look at the word of the Lord and see that even with our tongue, we could bless God, the scripture says, or we could curse God. And there's a peril of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You could even find in this chapter, verse 31 begins to speak about that. But, you know, God places enormous importance on our speech. Today's society, hear me, has experienced an unprecedented explosion of vile and wicked speech. And somebody here tonight, you know what I'm talking about. We live in an hour where everything is so vile, perverted, hate-filled. And I don't care if you're in public today. I don't care where you may go. It seems that There's such a hatefulness, a rebellious spirit, disrespectful of anybody around them. We live in an hour where somebody has to speak their mind and their right to say things, their right to get in people's face, their right to throw a fit, even in public, even in a public business. And I even had just recently somebody tell me about a situation that happened at a restaurant, how somebody began to jump up and they were causing disturbance. And the manager came and said, "Hey, you're going to get out." And he said, "This is a public place. It's not a public place." And they ended up having to call the cops. By the time it was all over with, the person slapped the manager, knocked over tables, hit somebody else that was just somebody eating, and trying to fight, when the officers got there, they hit the officer, and they hit another officer. And by the time it was all said and done, they had caught so many charges. They were charged up, weren't they? All because they had no control of their speech. You know, I want to just say this tonight. God's not mad at me, but God's mad about me. He's jealous over us. And God wants us to be saved. God wants us to make it in this day and hour. Amen. And I'm thankful for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some things about the tongue, and we'll go into that in just a moment, but I want you to say this. The tongue has no bones, but it is as strong enough to break a heart. So we got to be careful with our words. The tongue is like a sharp knife. It kills without drawing blood. The scripture says in 18:21 of Proverbs, the tongue, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. If you love to gut, guess what you're going to eat of? The fruit of insult. And Benjamin Franklin made a statement. He said, a slip of the foot, you may recover, but a slip of the tongue, you may never get over. And somebody else said that words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. We've got to be careful with our words. Careful. And there's things that I have said that I can't draw back, that I have regretted in my life. And being a pastor, there's been things that I could have said in a different way, in a different mannerism, that could have meant what my heart, but it came out different. How many of you have ever had that? You've been misunderstood. Your heart didn't mean it that way. And there's times I mean it. Because that's a mean old me that needs to be crucified. Somebody say amen. So tonight we're going to talk about how that vile and explosive, wicked speech around us today. And often without knowing it, many believers have become involved significantly in these significant sins of speech. But tonight we're going to ask God for discernment. We're going to ask God to give us that guard on our tongue, that we could harness our tongue and we could please the Almighty God. I want you to pray with me tonight and pray with you, pray about you tonight. Lord, help me, God, to have a clean heart, Lord, in my mouth. God, help me, Lord Jesus, to guard and gird up the loins of my mouth. God, help me, Lord, to be, God, mindful of your spirit, mindful of the ways of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, these lessons I have taught last week and this week, this lesson is something that I have worked on and prepared and thinking that I wanted to teach. There's several lessons in series about cleansing. First one, cleansing mind. This one's cleansing the speech. But the first thing we got to look at is inappropriate language. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Folks, I got to let something come out of my mouth that would minister to those around me. It's easy to tear down, but I want to be constructive and edify people around me. Ephesians 5:4 says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I want a grateful heart, but I want a grateful tongue too. Let me just go underneath the questions for reflection and get right in the middle of the stream. Do you ever speak slang words that are crude and inappropriate? We live in an hour today where you hear a lot of slang words. Do you use God's name any other way than worship and honor and praise? Have you engaged in off-color jokes or conversations? Has the filthiness of our society crept in your speech? Tonight, I want your answer, but I want you to ask yourself that. I'm looking around today in our generation and the filthiness. We pick up these bus kids and they come already. The first few words that they pick up are sticky words. I would call icky, sticky words. And you don't have to teach a child to say no and stomp their feet. They just automatically do that. Some of your mothers are nodding your head. They just come that way. And that's where we as parents have to work on them. But as individuals, us, same way, we've got to work on us. And we got to let the Lord work on us. Amen. Now, there's a lot of words and you'll hear people use what we call slang words. A slang word is not necessary a word that they come out and say it, but it's a near cuss word. It may rhyme. It may be a close word. And it is something that is just not appropriate. God wants us to be mindful of our words. Hear me. And in Matthew 5:37, Jesus clearly stated that the use of slang is wrong. Honestly examine your speech and ask God for his forgiveness. Be specific in your confession. If you have a problem with your speech, with inappropriate language, ask God, Lord, help me. Change my vocab. Change the battery of my emotions and my responses. You hit your finger hammering instead of saying a bad word, Lord, help me. And somebody makes me mad, instead of me saying something that is inappropriate, God, help me. And then in my everyday conversation, I don't want to have to use these slang words to fill in where I want to use a cuss word, you know. And I want to say this. You know, there are people that use these kind of language that don't even realize they're doing it. And I was with a man that used to attend our church. Very good man for us, on the high shelf of my respect. He hadn't been to church, hadn't go to church, and he don't think he had to go to church. But in visiting with that man, precious man, within a few minutes, he's describing something, and he pulls out some very, very, very inappropriate words. And whether they get it from TV, internet, wherever they, you'll get it, music they listen to, these inappropriate filler words are just inappropriate. And Brother Philip Rhodes taught here several years ago about euphemisms, about how people use these words that are just inappropriate, where they hit the thumb and they may not say a bad word, but they'll say a near bad word, you know, a slang word. If you're slinging slang words, that's got to help you. We're all trying to make it. We're all trying to make it to the other side. But on this hour, in this world, we better even work on us. The person in the mirror is my worst enemy. And God's wanting to work on us. But we got to be willing to work on ourselves as well. There are some people just justify the use of this pitiful language. And whether I hear it, I've heard it, people even that attend our church have used certain words, and by no means am I going to try to mock some of those words or copy some of those words, but you know, how close can you get to GD by saying D-A-N-G? And kids hear that. As a boy, I went to the hunting camp with my dad, and we had a large hunting club, a lot of men there. And I picked up a word. I got back to home, and when I was at home, I said something, and I used that word. I was innocent. My mama got a hold of me. I'm telling you what, today when I hear that word, it's still an ugly word to me. I mean, mama, thank you. I didn't realize how bad of a word it was. But folks, if it's disgraceful to my brother, my sister, my neighbor, how much more is it disgraceful to the Almighty God? Amen. So we're talking about getting closer to God. We're talking about upgrading and advancing in our relationship. The first thing is that cleansing of speech and the inappropriate words that we use. And the next thing that on our list today is lying. Lying. We're living in a generation where truth, it seems to be so valuable because our world's full of falseness, right? It's not just falseness of doctrine, but falseness of man's words. People today, they are not people of their word. So in our scripture right now, Colossians 3:9. Brother Josh, would you read it out loud to me, to us? Scripture says, lie not one to another. Now, the question here, do you ever lie? Do you exaggerate to make yourself look better, bigger, more important? Are you guilty of any form of cheating? Do you mislead people or institutions? Are you careful to follow through with your promises, your vows, and commitments you make to God and other people around you? The question is your word bond? Are you somewhat unreliable? Do you frequently fall short in things you said you would do? If so, this reveals an integrity problem. God hates lying. Everybody say, God hates it. God hates lying and inconsistency. We fully confess when we have that inside of us. Fully confess. If you find yourself exaggerating or lying, fully confess and renounce and say, God, I don't want this in my life anymore. Why do I have to say that? Why do I have to try to make me look so good? Why do I have to lie and exaggerate? So we need to fully confess and renounce any pattern of untruthfulness and unreliability. If you're the type of person that you give, it's better not to make a vow. It's better not to say, well, I'll be there, I'll do that. It's better to say, I can't do it, than to not show up and to forget about it. Amen. Be a person of your word. Somebody say amen. Amen. And none of us like somebody to cheat you. None of you here tonight like anybody that will lie to you. Hey, we got to work on ourselves. Dishonesty. There's been dishonest people that I've got phone calls before from judges. I've had people call, lawyers call me, and they say, what do you think about them? Give me what you feel about them. Well, if it's a lawyer, I know a lawyer's a liar too most of the time. So very carefully, it's hard for you to give a testimony of somebody's character when they're not real. It is valuable to please God by being real. Don't be two-faced. Don't be a hypocrite. And don't be a liar. Somebody say amen. The third thing we need to cleanse in our life and our speech is that old complainer inside of us. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, Brother Ashton, could you read that for me, please, sir?
Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Brother Brent, can you read that?
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Hey, the children of Israel were constantly complaining about God's provisions. God gave them the best of the best. And hear that word, because it didn't come the way they want it. They were always whining. Wouldn't you like to live in a life of miraculous? Were God blessed? Because when they were in Egypt, they were slaves, and they got to the place where the Egyptians started taking care of them because they were hard workers. The Egyptians took care of their slaves. And their life became a little padded, but they were still slaves. God brought them out of Egypt. God provided for them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't have to toil or work to get money or to get provisions. God blessed them. And they still complain. Hear me. So as a result, they perished in the wilderness. And as Christians, we are definitely commanded to rejoice and give thanks in all things. A lifestyle of continual praise is essential to pleasing God. Come on. When we're thankful people, we please God. It is impossible to be a complainer and walk in the power of God's Spirit. So I want you to look at this. Questions. Do you often gripe and complain about situations in your life? Do you fail to give thanks in all things and at all time? Are you filled with an attitude of gratefulness and praise? Or are you grumbling by saying, I have no good reason to complain? Are you always looking on the dark side of things? Do you trust God for supernatural joy? Or do you give to murmuring and complaining? Hey, you know you more than anybody else, right? You know you. How do you find yourself? Such an attitude is a major sin and blocks God's full blessings on your life. If you're wanting to change, God will give you miraculous joy. If you praise Him, God promises to give supernatural joy in spite of difficult situations. So if you find yourself always complaining, if you're a complainer, be specific about it before God. There's something that causes me to complain. I'm always griping. I've been in restaurants with people that regardless how sweet the waiter or waitress was, the person always griped. You could just count on it. I mean, they were going to gripe about something. They would run the waitress or the waiter back and forth just to do it because they felt like I got my thumb on them right now. I want you to tell us we need to be grateful. We need to be considerable. I want to be considerate of other people. Somebody say amen. Now, that major attitude will block your blessings from God. The next thing that we got to pray God cleanse us from is bitterness and anger. Ephesians 4:31. Let me find a reader for that. Sister Rebecca, can you help me? Does it say let some bitterness, some wrath, some anger, some clamor, some evil speaking? All. God, I got to do it. About 2 months ago when I started putting all this stuff together, I got to looking at it. I got to listening to me. And at times I would get so bitter at things, so aggravated at things. And I got to listening. bitterness and aggravation because I started looking on others and I started saying, how is it they have fine cars? Man, I've given my life to the King of Kings, to the kingdom of God. How is it they could live in a fine house? And I know I outwork them. They play golf 2 times a week as a pastor. I mean, they never teach a Bible study. They just preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Some of them just Sunday mornings. I said, God, I've given my life. And it looks like everything they touch turns to gold. And immediately, I start getting bitter and upset. I mean, one man said, hey, my church gives me a new car every year. And their church runs half what we run. And I go, what's going on? What am I missing? Where am I failing you, God? And I started getting bitter. And the Lord said, hold it. You're in this for more than what they're in. You're in this because you love people. I'm thankful when I go to Walmart, somebody's going to get a hold of me and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I think when I go to the doctor's office like yesterday just to get a paper signed, the lady looked at me and said, oh, Brother Crosswhite, I have in the background have watched your church through the years. And we're so thankful for what God's doing. I'd rather have that kind of rapport than to be the one that don't just to, you know, just looking good. Amen. So bitterness and anger has to be put. Are you guilty of critical anger, angry speech? Do you argue and fight with others? Do you tend to be irritable and cranky? Are you quick to raise your voice? Does your speech reflect an underlying anger and impatience with those around you? Do you speak unkindly to those in your family? Are you guilty of any form of gossip or slander of others? Do you speak evil of people behind their back? If so, immediately confess and forsake these things and say, God, I need help. I'm disabled. I need help right here. Hear me. The best way to destroy gossip, anybody knows how to do it? The best thing to destroy gossip is to ignore it. But to belittle is to belittle. And hate never wins a debate. And Walter Winchell said this, gossip is the art of saying nothing in a way that leaves practically nothing unsaid. And another proverb says, gossip dies when it hits a wise person's ears. And remember this, whoever gossips to you will gossip about you. So if you find yourself in that deal where your speech has that bitterness and anger and that's there, be honest with God. Say, God, I need help here. Help me, God. Confess it and ask God to give you the power over it. The next thing, divisiveness and negativity is the next thing I had to pray. God, cleanse me up. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let's see who can read, Brother Corbett. So questions, are you known as a peacemaker who strengthens church unity, or are you often part of some contentious argument? Man, there's some people like to be part of the Tater family. You ever heard about Tater family being in the church? There's Brother Agitator. What's the other one, Sister Crossman? Sister Instigator. Yeah. Agitator, Instigator. And, I mean, there's a whole list of them that you can think of. And I don't want to be part of the Tater family. Amen. Where I'm always stirring up something. Somebody said there was a lady in their church that called her Sister Spoon because she's always stirring up something. So are you known as a peacemaker who strengthens the church? Do you act like a self-appointed critic and judge to set everybody else straight? There's some. You ever seen somebody who was self-appointed? There was a self-appointed judge. They had to straighten everybody else out. And there's people that nature. They feel like they have to straighten everybody. Are you quick to talk about the shortcomings of others? Do you increase the faith of your church by a positive attitude? Or do you tear down by focusing on the imperfections? Do you tend to be part of cliques? Are you known as a complainer? So I'm looking at my words here. Known as a complainer and one who is easily upset. I don't want anybody to have to walk around me and say, I don't want to be around them. They might explode. Hear me today. I don't want to be that type of person. I want to be a person that anybody could come to, and I want to be a blessing to somebody. Have you been critical and condemning of those that have different tastes and different ideas than you? Now, such subtle sins of attitude and speech are often more damaging than obvious outward sins. Think with me. These type of sins are just more damaging than outward sins. You could have a wrong spirit and bitterness in your heart. And bitterness destroys so many. It's like a domino effect. The Bible says a root of bitterness spring up, defiles how many? Many, it says, right? That's why bitterness, when bitterness comes to you, you got to deal with it. It will destroy the container that's hosting it. Let me ask you, does a negative church person can do more damage than an alcoholic can? Does God convict you of any tendency to be contentious, divisive, negative? Don't make excuses or justify behavior. If you're honest in your confession and repentance, if you repent and say, God, I need help, God will totally transform your heart. He will give you wisdom to deal with the dishonest and the honest difference of opinion without being angry and divisive. God will also lead you to ask forgiveness of those that you have offended. Now, think with me. There's people that think, well, they didn't ask me, so I'm not participating. Or I don't like it that way. I don't like it, so I'm not going to be part of it. Or they didn't ask me to help. They didn't ask me to serve on this committee. They didn't ask me to be a part of this. So they didn't choose me. So I'm not going to get involved. There's such divisiveness and negativity amongst people. Folks, we got to go to heaven together. If we go to heaven, heaven's going to be made of people just like you that have got to that place and said, God, I need you. Somebody got it? Amen. Praise God. So the next thing that we need to do is cleanse that lack of disrespect, that lack of respect for leadership, lack of respect for leadership. 1 Timothy 5:17. I need another reader. Let's see. Why not? Alexa, why don't you help me? Okay. Have you been critical or slanderous of church leadership? Do you fail to respect and honor those who are called to lead your church? Do you undermine your authority? Do you tend to pick them apart rather than give them consistent encouragement and prayer support? Are there leaders or other believers whom you have just parted with on angry terms? Do you tend to slander or mock even other denominations? We talked about this the other day in house to house at Sister Ricky's and Brother Roy's house, how even preachers today would get up and say, well, those Baptists, those folks, I'm going to tell you what, amen, Pentecost is just as worse as the Baptists. We don't need to compare ourselves with other denominations. We got to compare ourselves with the word in the mirror. So instead of slandering other people, ministries, or leaders, who may not agree with you all the points, God will not fill your life until such sins are fully confessed and forsaken. Somebody say amen. Sins have to be confessed and forsaken. Matthew 5:23. I need a reader for that. Okay. Who hadn't read over here? Brother John, can you read that? You're a good reader. Go ahead. Okay, so if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has ought, somebody has ought against you, leave that gift there, go to that person and make it right with them. And when you reconcile yourself to that brother or sister, come back, and then you can offer that gift. Sister Crossway, can you explain in your words what that means? I got to take care of that division between me and them before God could ever take care of the division in my life. In our conclusion, the scripture says we are the salt of the earth. Basically, salt is a moral disinfectant. In a world where the standards are so low, constantly changing or non-existing, to preserve, we must be in contact with the world, but not conform to it. We're in the world, but we're not. Salt is a highly stable compound. In science analysis, salt has been shown to never lose its saltiness or power to prevent decay. The only way in Bible times where there were no refineries for salt to lose its savor was for it to be mixed with impurities that made its savor useless. It looked like salt, but it did not act like salt. And as a church, the desire to blend with the world has caused many modern churches to lose their penetrating power. To mix a metaphor, Moody says this, D.L. Moody says this, the place for the ship is in the seas, but God help the ship if the seas get into it. God wants an impactful and effective church that learns to cleanse, first of all, our attitudes, our thoughts, and our speech. I want to be like Jesus. How about you? Hallelujah. I want to be like Jesus. Not one of us deserves the grace of God tonight. You don't get good first to get God, but you get God to get good. That's the reason why we talk about confessing. If you got a hang up, the word of God is teaching us to say, God, I need help. I'm disabled in this area. I can't do it. The hardest thing for me to do as a man is to ask for help. I will go around 10 blocks before I stop and ask for directions. I go 10 miles out of the way before I stop and ask for directions. And the hardest thing, I'll go out and try to work on something, and my wife said, why don't you ask somebody? Knowing I can't do it, knowing I'm supposed to tear it up, and it's going to cost me more. I just don't like asking for help. But friend, I better learn how to say, help me, Jesus. Would you lift your hands, and I want you to talk to the Lord with me. Lord, I need you today. God, I need your help in all the facets of my mind, my life. Help me to walk with you, Jesus. Help me to build my life on consistency, faithfulness, righteousness. God, work on me. God, I need you. I need you today, Lord. And I praise you for the privilege and opportunity of your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that you give and the healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when a pastor teaches like this, first thing people in their mind says, who's he preaching to? Who's he teaching to? You know what? This dude right here. And if I'm not, I'm not singling one person out, but I'm singling you out. You got to be saved. We're not here today to save one particular person, but all of us. Amen. We got to make it to heaven. Stand with us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the goodness of your word. Help us, Lord Jesus, to build, and help us, God, at the same time to build, to get the old rottenness out of us. God, our words, our speech, the way we talk, the way we reflect, the way we do things. Help us, oh God, to be more for you and less for ourselves. God, work on me, Jesus. Let my words be pure. Let my words be, God, holy. And let my heart, God, be after you. I give you praise and I give you thanks today, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Would you go to five people before you walk out of this place?